So the reading is taken from Ezekiel 47, verses 6 to 12. Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore. From the En Gedi to En Eglaim, there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows from them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing." This is the word of the Lord.
So this morning I'm continuing with yet more challenges as we look at this passage in Ezekiel 47. Last week we faced the challenge of whether we would go further with the Lord, whether we would pay the price of moving from the place of sacrifice to the place of presence. Would we let go of the things that hamper a spiritual life, a spiritual walk for the Lord? Would we cut out the things that stop us having a meaningful time of prayer with the Lord? Would we commit ourselves to improving in our holiness? I want to tell you this morning that the river of God is flowing and it's growing, whether we're flowing and growing with it or not. We have a choice whether we will make the commitment to go with that river or not. It's our choice whether we want to experience more of the Lord's presence and power in our lives. As I say that, I'm not shaking my finger in your face. That's not who I am. I'm encouraging you to come on a journey. Will we go further? But this morning our focus is not on the price that needs to be paid. Today our focus is on the factors that result from going further. And because I like alliteration, we've got the fish, we've got the fruit, and we've got the foliage. Took a bit of time for me to come up with that one, but there you go. It pays to spend time in the Lord's presence and to have a Roget's thesaurus or access to the internet, whichever your poison is. These are the things that come from God's life-flowing river. So let me bring you back to this passage, because Ezekiel has been touched by the life-giving river. And now that life-giving river is going to go down to the deepest, darkest, deadest part of the world, and it's going to flow and grow. The Arabah is the entire rift valley that stretches right up from the top of the Sea of Galilee right down to the Dead Sea, to the Red Sea, sorry, not the Dead Sea, the Red Sea. The Dead Sea is sort of along the way. It's primarily a sandy desert with gravel. There's dried out riverbeds, they flash flood at times of rain. It was a time for copper, it was a place where copper was mined in the past. It was a trade route, people would travel up the dried up river. And within this dry environment lies the Dead Sea. It's the lowest point on earth. Its shores are approximately 430 metres below sea level. It's a landlocked salt lake. It's one of the world's saltiest bodies of water. It's 9.6 times more salty than the sea you're swimming when you go on your holidays. nearly 10 times more salty. And so it's pretty remarkable when the scripture says in verses 8 and 10, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the Arabah, where it enters into the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures live wherever the river flows. There'll be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Oh, you see, you've learnt your lesson from last week. You're saying amen quickly this morning. That's wonderful. Thank you for that. This life-giving river heals the dead, the salty, the stagnant water, and gives life to all it touches. We'll come to the harvest in a moment, but first I want you to see with me that there is a transition from principle to application, from symbolism to substantiated, from prophetic to practical, from a biblical character hundreds of years ago to our circumstances, wherever we live, wherever we work, wherever we leisure, wherever we go, there's a transition that is open and available for us. There's something that I want you to see. There's something that I want you to believe. There's something that I want you to apply this coming week and every other week for the rest of your lives. Do you want to see that? Oh, congregation still awake, Robin. That's really good. Let's go to John chapter 7, please, Alex. John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the greatest day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. This is the bit. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, her heart, will flow rivers of living water. He said this about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Did you catch what the scripture says? The river is not only flowing and growing down through the Arabah. God wants the river to flow in us and through us to the praise of his glory. Amen. Not for your benefit. Not for your edification and delight. Not for you to have a status. No, for him to be glorified. Didn't Jesus say, if you know this verse, why don't you say it with me? John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life in all its fullness. Wow. God doesn't want you to be ordinary. Anybody here consider themselves to be ordinary? Oh, Emma was scratching her head there. I thought she was about to put her hand in there. You're not ordinary. You're the child of God. Amen. Yes, you have to work in the mundane. Yes, you have to experience the mundane. But I want to tell you, God wants you to experience the miraculous. That's not just preacher's hyperbole. That's for real. If you've never given your life to Jesus, and we've got some people that are here with us for the first time this morning. Welcome. We're so glad that you came. We're so glad that you've come to give us your time here in the OCC family, the Oasis Christian Center family. Maybe online you're joining us for the first time. If you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, if you've never asked him to remove the shame and the guilt and the sorrow from things that you've done, and you would love that to happen, would you speak to me or one of the other leaders here in the church this morning? We'd love to show you and tell you how that can happen for yourselves. You see, if you've been to Jesus and you're trying to follow him every day, Jesus says that the living water Ezekiel experienced, you can experience. Would you put your hand on your heart for a moment and say, God wants me to experience that life-giving river. Hallelujah. You're not ordinary. You're a child of God. He wants to do a work in you and through you to the praise of his glory. Jesus says you can be harvest bringers. You can be life givers to those that are dead. Matthew 4 verse 19, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Can I tell you, this scripture's for you, for me, for the whole family, the whole OCC family this morning. The water that has touched Ezekiel, the water that has flown into the deepest, darkest, deadest place on the earth has come and touched my life. You're allowed to say praise the Lord as well. It's touched my life. It's healed the dead, salty water of the Dead Sea, but it's healed my broken heart, my sinful heart, my hurtful words, my shameful practices. God has touched my life, and he would touch yours this morning. Amen. And through you, he would touch the dead, salty, dry parts of Redditch where you go. Aren't you glad about that? You're a life giver. You're a life giver. You're a harvest bringer. But you might say to me, Tim, I could never do that. Isn't that what Moses said? Look what God did with Moses. I've got other examples, but we're running out of time. You and I, my dear friends, are like extension leads that take the power of God from the source to where it needs to be. You're God's holy extension lead. There's a picture for you. God wants to plug into you so that you can take his power to your workplace, to your family, to your street, to your gym, to watch Aston Villa on the terraces, especially on Thursday. This coming Thursday I'm talking about. There we go. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. Because your life has been touched by the life-giving river. Your life, your walk. Remember we talked about ankles last week, the way that you walk. Because God has caused you to be compassionate and gracious and generous, that you would never have been without the touch of God in your life. God takes that and he brings people to you that you can bring life to their deadness. He brings them to you. Years ago, I was selling training and doing training. And somebody said to me, Tim, you need to go and see this particular company. It was in Glossop, Derbyshire. And I went there and I sat down in front of the managing director and he chewed my ear for 5 minutes. And I looked him in the eye and I said, you've never given us an opportunity. And he gave me £20,000 worth of work, which in those days was a lot of money. Still a lot of money today, but it was an even bigger lot of money. In those days, it was brought to me. It was on a tray, on a plate in front of me. God brings the lost to us. You're not sure, some of you, but he does. Do you remember we talked about the knees? Because you pray earnestly and urgently for people in your family, people you know and love, maybe some that you've never met, but you are still faithful to pray for them. God brings you these people that you can touch their lives with the life-giving river. God brings them to you. Every person you meet is someone that needs to hear about the love of God. Everyone you meet is somebody that needs to see the love of God in action. Do you remember we talked about our loins or our waist? Well, because you try to live a holy life, God brings you people that you can manifest holiness before. And he brings them to you so that you can show them what it means to be a follower of Jesus. In these last days, God is preparing a harvest. Didn't Jesus say, pray that the Lord would send workers out into the harvest field? Matthew 9, 37, 38. Didn't he say, we've referred to it already, you will be fishers of men? What are there along this life-giving river? Fishermen. You're a fisherman, fisher lady, whatever you are. You're a fisher person. Brackets him stroke he. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Gleim. There'll be places for spreading nets. With every energy that I can muster this morning, I want you to be walking for the Lord, praying for the lost, demonstrating a holy life, because I believe God is bringing us people that need to be saved. Robin talked about it just a few minutes ago. And we me, Tim, who stuttered as a child till he was 15 terribly. Tim, who had twisted tendons in his feet and couldn't play football to save his life. That's why he supports Aston Villa. No. Tim, who always manages to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. God brings people to me that need to see God in action, that need to hear. Do you realize God loves you? If I've learnt one thing about pastoral ministry, it's this. More than anything, people want a friend. They don't care if you can say the names of the books of the Bible in the right order. They couldn't care less if you know that when somebody says, "I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord," in your best King James Version accent. They don't care if you can say, "Oh, that's Jeremiah." They couldn't care less. But that you put an arm around their shoulder and you stay with them through thick and thin. That you pray with them one of these days. One of these people that you are meeting every day, every week of your life is going to say to you, "Why do you live like that? Why do you say those things?" And you'll say, "Because I'm a lover of Jesus. Amen. He changed my life and he could change your life too." You don't have to preach. Leave that to those of us who don't know how to shut up. I'm not looking at anybody. You don't have to preach. You just have to say, "I'm a follower of Jesus. He changed my life. He can change your life too." That's what you need to do. So the question is, will we go further? Will we allow the river to bring his life-giving river wherever we go? Not everybody will be saved. That's not our responsibility. It's the Spirit's job to save people. Some will choose, some will make the choice, and God has given everybody free will. You may be here this morning, you may say, "I don't want to be a follower of Jesus." That's your choice. God will not force you. But there's implications to every decision, I have to tell you. There's a heaven, there's a hell. There's a decision to be made. There's a choice to face up to. There's an end point for us to realize is coming. Make the choice you want. But God holds his hands out to you and offers you salvation. So what harvest does Ezekiel see, and what can we expect? First thing is that we can expect large numbers of fish. The fish in Ezekiel 47 are symbolic of new, vibrant life. People from every nation, every tribe, every tongue coming to put their faith and trust in Jesus, saved from deadness as they're touched by the life-giving river, by the witness of a faithful person who loves Jesus with all of their heart. The grace of God flows from the temple. It flows down into somebody's deadness, dead experience, and they need to hear something. Let me tell you what they need to hear. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The gospel, the good news of Jesus bearing our judgment. He took our judgment on the cross. The good news that Jesus did that for us. The good news of forgiveness for our wrongdoing. The good news of adoption into his family. The good news of the gift of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a life that honors him. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. Amen. You can dress it up however you like, but you'll keep coming back to the fact, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that if Tim believes in him, put your name in, if Tim believes in him, he would not perish, but have, hallelujah, everlasting life. The life-giving river wants to flow for salvation. The life-giving river, the gospel clearly and simply presented, cuts the hearers' hearts, opens their eyes. The gospel presenter simply opens his arms and the prodigals come home. The gospel presenter, well, he's the fisherman on the bank of the river. The sin-stained are washed clean, the sick are healed, hell is raided and heaven is populated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a transformation of spiritually dead lives into life in all its fullness. And God has used us to present that message. This is why we want you to sign up for the Mission Week. We want you to be used by God to see others coming to faith in Him. Don't say to me, God could never use me, Tim. I've said that. Here I am. I've said it. You and I are called to join the ranks of the fishermen on the bank. Will you join their number? Will you be active in sharing your story? Will you be active in telling others of the grace of God? Will you sign up for Missions Week? If you've not heard the statement, I'll say it again. Will you please sign up for Missions Week? Not because we're desperate. We serve an almighty God. He doesn't need any of us. But because we want every single one of us to have the joy, the thrill of seeing other people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, there's fish, but there's more. There's fruit trees on the banks of the river. Those fruit trees speak to us again of believers being touched by the life-giving river. Have you ever read Psalm 1? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. It's virtually the same language. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who doesn't go the sinful way, but delights in the law of the Lord. God causes them to bear fruit.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, Jesus, well, it wasn't Jesus, it was John the Baptist said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You tell people you're saved, you can't talk about other people behind their back. Just let that percolate for a minute. If you say you're a follower of Jesus and they come by your workstation and see that you're looking at stuff you shouldn't be looking at, it doesn't add up. Doesn't add up. This one's a hard one. If you say you're a follower of Jesus and you go down the motorway at 85, guilty. I wasn't looking. That doesn't make it right. I wasn't. You hear what I'm saying this morning?
Yeah.
If you say you're a Christian, live like it.
Amen.
If you can't live like it, don't say you're a Christian. Because people are watching. And people are expecting integrity. People are expecting that your words and your actions will match up.
Yeah.
God takes the walk of the ordinary believer. He takes the fruit that as we're trying to follow him, as we seek to produce compassion and kindness and generosity and honesty and integrity, the things that are formed in us because we made the choice to go further into the river, God takes that and makes fruit that people want for themselves and bring glory to him. And then there's leaves, or because I'm a preacher that like 3 points all with the same letter, there's foliage. Foliage, forgive me. I know I need to get out more. There's some amazing verses at the end of Mark's gospel. I want you to listen to these words. I know somebody will come to me afterwards and say, yes, but Tim, that passage, there's a whole lot of doubt about whether it should even be in the Bible. It's in the Bible. You can argue about it, but somebody more clever than you and closer to Jesus at the time made the decision that it should be in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Therefore, as far as I'm concerned, it's in the Bible. I'm going to accept it and I'm going to believe it and I'm going to apply it.
Amen.
You do what you like. You wriggle as much as you like, but as far as I'm concerned, it's in the Bible. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. This is the bit I want you to get. They will place their hands on people who are ill, and they will get well.
Amen.
It don't sound complicated to me. It sounds perfectly straightforward to me. Lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. Ordinary. Is anybody ordinary? Oh, come on, wave at me. Oh, nice to see you. If you think you're ordinary, this scripture is for us. It's for us. I don't want to be sensational in what I'm about to say, but I believe that it's time for the church. I'm not talking about OCC, I'm talking about the church worldwide to begin to operate out of this scripture, to pray for the sick and see the sick healed. There's nothing like a miracle to make somebody want to give their life to Jesus. And I believe that God wants to use you and I to do it. Why do I believe that? Because God promised it in his word, and he's Jehovah Rapha, the God who is the healing God. I believe it because I've experienced it in my own body. I believe it because I've prayed for people and they've been healed. Jehovah Rapha wants the life-giving river to touch the sick and the sorrowing, to heal them with the foliage, with the leaves that we use, our hands, if you like, our foliage. We put them on the shoulder of somebody and we pray for healing. We announce the healing and the healing comes. Hallelujah. God is honored. So the challenge this morning is not just will you go further with the river, into the river. Will you not only give attention to your walk, your prayers and your holiness, but the challenge is will you go further by taking the responsibility that God has given to us all to be fishers of men, to be fishing for souls, to produce spiritual fruit in keeping with our profession of faith, and to be bold in praying for the sick, not just in church, but wherever we go. On the street corners, in our workplaces, by the water fountain. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you hear a need. I mean, do you know there's a scripture? I haven't got the text on the top of my head. I think it's in 1 John, but one of my spiritual brethren will put me right if I've got that wrong. It says, if you say to somebody, stay warm and well fed, and do nothing to help them, you're worse than an infidel. I haven't got the text immediately in my head. It's just come to me. I tell you this, if you hear that somebody's sick and you do nothing about it, you're worse than an infidel. For goodness sake, God has brought them to you. Put your hand on their shoulder. Ask permission, particularly if it's a man to a woman. Ask permission. Put your hand on the shoulder and say, dear Lord, I've never done this before, but I know you're Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Please bring healing to this person in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not complicated. You don't have to pray for England. You don't have to use texts from the Bible. You just say, God, you're the healer. Heal this person. Amen. Nothing up my sleeves. No magic. Nothing, you know, no. I'm putting my trust in you, Lord. I'm putting my whole trust in you, Lord. Will you do it? Okay. Last week I asked who would go further. And a whole lot of you came forward. I was humbled. I want to say to you this morning, I want to pray over you that God would commission you to be bold in sharing your story, in living the life, and being ready to pray for people. Lord, would you bless this congregation? As I snap my fingers over them, as I look over them, would you bless them, Lord? Would you make them bold for you? Would you enable them, even this week, to meet people that need something from you, Lord, need salvation, need healing, need a touch from the Master? Would you make them bold that as they hear of the need, they just take a simple step, lay their hands on somebody's shoulder and pray for them, and they're saved or they're healed or something, Lord, that honours and glorifies you? Would you do this, Lord, we pray? Not because we're the best people on the face of the planet, but because you're the best God, the biggest God, the only God that raised himself from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's empowered us to go and live for him. I want to do one more thing before I finish. I'll be as quick as I can. But as I was preparing last night, just the final, I always do the message, put it on the back burner for a bit and come back to it on a Saturday night and have a quick look at it. I felt the Lord say to me, do you know when we pray for the sick, we're thinking quite often about people with people who need a hip replacement or they've got heart disease or cancer. He said, Tim, I want you to pray for some people tomorrow. I want you to call them forward. Some people that are struggling with unforgiveness. You've been hurt. Maybe you were in the right. It wasn't your fault and somebody did something and you've been hurt as a result. Maybe you've been gossiped about, but it's like a ball and chain around your ankle and you're carrying it. And God says, if you come forward this morning, I'm going to release you from it. Amen. Don't wait. Come on, just come. If that's you, just come. And then he said to me, I want you to pray for people that are anxious. That are anxious. And whatever happens in their lives, they're just, you're just, will this happen? Will there be enough money? Will people like me? Will I be well thought of? If that's you, come forward this morning. We want to release you from that anxiety. Now, if there's anybody on the School of Ministry training, we talked about prayer ministry on Tuesday. So this is your opportunity. So if you're not up here because you've come forward, but you want to utilize the teaching that you received last Tuesday, why don't you come forward and pray for these people? Just put your hand on their shoulder. You don't need to know all of the facts. All you need to know is that God is a big God and he's going to put it right. So you folk that have come forward, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand before the Lord. Oh, he sees you. He sees you. But I'm asking you to just raise your hand before the Lord. And I'm asking you to say, Lord, I'm lifting my hand because I don't want to carry this thing any longer. Would you do that? Okay. Folk, if you're doing praying, now's the time. You don't need to pray for England. Just a quick, simple, straightforward prayer. Start to pray with people. Start to pray with people. Be released right now in Jesus' name. Be free from this thing. Be free from it. Have it no more. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be the man that you're called to be. Be the man Jesus wants you to be. Be released in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be released from this thing. In the name of Jesus, be free of it, never to come back again. In the name of Jesus, you're free of it. In the name of Jesus, God bless you. Be the woman God intended you to be. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shira da boso shida basi yanda. Emma. Thank you, Lord, for your releasing power. Thank you, Lord, that you intended us to be something wonderful in your presence. And you're ministering right now to these people. In Jesus' name, would you set them free from unforgiveness? Would you set them free from anxiety? Would you loosen the chains that hold them? Would you release them to live the life that you intended them to live? And would you be honored and glorified as a result? And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.